Today's scripture reading is Job chapter 42, the closing chapter of the book of Job. I encourage you to take the red pew hymnal and turn to page 531. And if you're using the large print, it's on page 838. Today's message is from the scripture, "Who obscures God's counsel without knowledge?" Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, 'Who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty and unknowable Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired word, inerrant, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning void. We pray, God, the Holy Spirit, upon this gathering here, that you would open our hearts, our eyes, our ears. See what you desire to reveal. Let not this preacher get in your way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Who obscures God's counsel without knowledge? Life isn't breathing. Life is knowing God. Life isn't breathing. Life is knowing God. Kevin Burgess. This is not the usual way of thinking about life, contrary to what most our modern society thinks. Too many rarely think about God at all, especially about the God of the Bible. And even some that profess the Lord Jesus as Savior create and worship a figure of their imagination. They separate and compartmentalize so as to ignore human sin and God's judgment. Many people are happy to eat, drink, and to be merry. They live day by day. They celebrate with family and friends. They store up treasures here on earth, full closets, full basements, full attics, full storage facilities. And in response to the pandemic, to stay safe, it was normal to isolate and give up full living to keep breathing day by day. They do not have an eternal perspective. But Job, who had it all, lost it all. Everything in this life is temporary. People get sick, and there are tragic accidents. All of Job's children die. He himself was attacked by Satan with illness. All of Job's fortune was decimated, and it takes 42 chapters for Job to find the truth. Now, Job has three good friends who came to bring him comfort. At first, they quietly sit with him, just sharing their presence and support. But there is a question that beats within all our hearts. Why? Why is there suffering? Why is there pain? Job 5:7. "Yet man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward." In their Jewish culture and many other cultures, Job must have sinned somehow. He needs to confess his sin and get right with God. So his friends, they begin their friendly inquisition. "Come on, Job, don't be a hypocrite. Tell us what you're hiding. We are here for you, Job. Just tell us, what sin has caused this calamity?" There is an appeal to this type of thinking, cause and effect. It helps us make sense of the world. When it happens to someone else, I wouldn't say this out loud, but a little part of us believes that we must be living rightly. But when it comes our way, we are usually baffled and befuddled. Now, throughout this friendly inquisition, Job adamantly proclaims his innocence. In fact, he calls on Almighty God to give him a day in court. In fact, he comes pretty close to blasphemy. He almost demands from God that he get his day in court. Job tells his friends that he will be vindicated before them and the Lord. And I don't blame Job one bit. And I find him to be a highly sympathetic figure. Hear what the Lord says in the 8th verse of this book. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." Job does not get his day in God's court. Even after many inquiries and requests by Job, the Lord remains silent until the 38th chapter. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm, out of the whirlwind. "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge?" These are the words that Job repeated back 4 chapters later to God. "Raise yourself like a man. I will question you and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it?" Through several chapters, the Lord takes Job on a revelation tour. Like a hiking trail with X's on the trees to mark the way, the guided tour is marked by 70 questions put to Job by God. The Lord makes it clear that he is God the creator. He makes it clear that there's no power greater than God's power. And our loving Lord is our sustainer and provider. We know that every good gift comes from our Heavenly Father. The purposes and promises of God are guaranteed. Our omniscient God has perfect knowledge, which has a comprehensive scope. Job tells God, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you." This eyesight is the spiritual vision we learned about last week in the message, "What is Unseen." We can review that on the website. It speaks of an intimacy and a connection, a personal knowledge of God. How do we gain such eyesight? You will not be surprised when I tell you a primary way is through the Holy Spirit, the inerrant word of an infallible God. Now, I get a daily devotional from Dr. David Jeremiah called Today's Turning Point. And the one for Tuesday was called A Mind Like a Sea. It starts with Philippians 4:8. "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." I've recited that scripture to you many times over this last 7 years. Goes on to say, the dictionary defines a filter as a device through which air or liquid is passed to remove impurities. People wore masks during COVID, hoping to filter out the virus. Our swimming pools have filters to keep the water pure. We need oil filters on our cars, air filters on our heating systems, coffee filters for our morning cups, aquarium filters for our fish, and light filters for our cameras. What filters our mind, keeping our thoughts pure? There's only one filter for the mind, and that's the word of God. When you internalize his word through diligent study and memorization, it builds an internal spiritual and mental filter that helps us fight temptation, resist depression, and increase our wisdom. Through studying God's word, our minds are renewed and our hearts cleansed. Find a way to interact daily with scripture. It will change your mind. That devotion closed with a quote from Chris Mueller. "Let the Bible saturate your internal life, your mind, your thinking. Let the Bible be your filter. Choose to have God's word dwell within you," which means having the Bible be at home in your mind. We need this scriptural filter because it works supernaturally. By contrast, we have this perspective put in verse by Edmund Blake. This life's dim windows of the soul distorts the heavens from pole to pole and leads you to believe a lie when you see with and not through the eye. When you see with and not through the eye. A.W. Tozer wrote, as we come to the Word of God, we do not just come for information. We come for an encounter with the living Word of God. I will not settle for just a text. I want to see beyond that text and encounter the Christ, the Word of life. Our study of the written Word reveals the living Word. The next time you open your Bible, think of it as a conversation in which the author is speaking through his book personally to you. He goes on, there have been times that I have lost myself in the manifest presence of the Lord as I meditated on his word. He has come mysteriously close to find explanation. Earl Spurgeon preached, but mark you, prosperity is a painted window which shuts out much of the clear light of God. And only when the blue and the crimson and the golden tinge are removed is the glass restored to its full transparency. Adversity thus takes away tinge and color and dimness, and we see our God far better than before if our eyes are prepared for the light. The Lord had taken everything away from Job, and this paved the way to his giving him more of himself. In the absence of other good, the good God is better seen. In the absence of other goods, the good God is better seen. In prosperity, God is heard, and that is a blessing. But in adversity, God is seen, and that is a greater blessing. Sanctified adversity quickens our spiritual sensitivities. Sorrow after sorrow will wake up the spirit, and it will infuse into it a delicacy of perception, which perhaps does not often come to us in any other way. He says, I purposely say perhaps, for I believe that some choice saints are favored to reach it by smoother ways, but I think they are very few. Who are saints? All believers in Christ, right? That's what scriptures teach. Upon rightly seeing God, Job confesses, therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. David Platt preached this. The picture is not of sin that caused the suffering, but his repenting, his turning. That's the whole picture. Literally, when he says, I despise myself, this could be rendered, I reject what I've said. He is turning from the small view of God that he had in his suffering to the great view of God that he has now. And when we repent of small thinking about God and turn to great thinking about God, that's the picture here. And I got a feeling it's a confession that every single one of us in our lives, in this room and in this room, should make. Constantly turning from small views of God to true, to real, to grand views of God. This is how he turns. Our initial reaction is awe. It leads us to turn from small views of God to great views of God, and our eternal response is adoration. Now let's hear a modern day testimony. This is from an article in the Christian Post, January 6th, 2015. Matt Chandler, lead pastor of a multi-site church near Dallas, Texas, announced Monday that his most recent MRI brain scans returned positive results and he's been cancer-free for over 5 years. Astounded again at God's faithfulness, another clean MRI today. Hard to believe it's been over 5 years. Hashtag Jehovah Rapha, Chandler wrote on Twitter Monday. On Thanksgiving Day in 2009, Chandler, leading pastor at the Village Church in Highland Village, collapsed in his living room with a seizure that resulted from a golf ball-sized tumor in the front right frontal lobe of his brain. Christian Post reported that while his doctor was able to remove most of the malignant brain tumor through surgery, 18 months of chemotherapy and radiation treatment was still required. 18 months. This was followed by regular MRI scans to monitor Chandler's progress every year. In 2013, Chandler was featured in the Christian Post for being among a new generation of pastors preaching and teaching Orthodox biblical Christianity and traditional biblical views on family and morality. Chandler, who continued preaching through his chemo and radiation treatments, was 39 at the time and had witnessed the Village's church's multi-site weekly attendance grow from 160 to 10,000 in 11 years. Speaking about balancing Orthodox biblical theology with being relevant to the young generations and engaging the culture, Chandler told the Christian Post, "I don't think there's anything more relevant than Orthodox Christianity, because the second you move away from Orthodox Christianity, I don't believe you have Christianity any longer. You have some version of it, but it ultimately lacks its power to transform, and it lacks its ability to call sinners to be reconciled to God, because you can't call anybody a sinner." Ultimately, he added, "Orthodox Christianity is the most relevant thing in the world, and it alone has the power to transform lives. I start to lose track of what we're talking about if there's a version of Christianity that no longer says that sin exists and that people don't have to repent of it. At that point, you no longer have the cross of Jesus Christ." He's the president of the Acts 29 Network for Church Planners and the author of The Explicit Gospel. Chandler and his wife, Lauren, are the parents of three children and have spoken openly about the challenges they faced with the brain tumor diagnosis and multiple miscarriages. "Before Matt had the brain tumor, I experienced a couple miscarriages," Lauren told the Christian Post at the Defined by God conference to pastors' wives in San Diego in 2012. I feel like the Lord really prepared me through that season of praising him in the hurt. And really, that was where my heart was resting, was in praising him and not in questioning and doubting." She continued, "He is big enough to hear my doubts and questions and my crying out to him, literally kind of like, why? Actually, he gave me a picture in my head of this heart being run out like a towel. Just this phrase that sometimes he rings to worship, and just this idea of the Lord squeezing our hearts and squeezing that worship, squeezing it out sometimes, that real deep worship. I really think that our hearts will not rest any other place but in worshiping him and praising him in the midst of heartaches and storms and loss and doubt and frustration. Sometimes it's a fight." Earlier in Job's trial, he made a confession of faith. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me." And in the end, Job did see his Savior. "Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. But God can do all things. No plan of the Lord's can be thwarted." David Platt affirms, "This is an awesome truth of the book of Job." Remember this. Satan's attempts to attack God's people only serve to accomplish God's purpose. Satan's attempts to attack God's people only serve to accomplish God's purpose. I declare to you with the Apostle Paul. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts to know God more intimately as we prepare to celebrate Holy Communion. Amen, and let us pray. Mighty Lord, the story of your servant Job is on some levels very disturbing, but at the same time, it is very encouraging. That often we will not know what's going on, but we can know you. And in knowing you, we will make it through. I pray for that relationship for each and everyone here today. And I pray it in the powerful and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people say, amen.